Hi, and welcome to episode 73 of East West Audio Body Shop, recorded on December 2nd, 2012. Our special guest this week is Randy Kay. Our special thanks go out to John Florian and VoiceOver Extra, the daily resource for voiceover success. Visit John at voiceoverextra.com. Also, our special thanks go out to Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Essentials, voiceoveressentials.com. Harlan is the exclusive supplier of portable studio booths for TED. And now here's Dan and George.
He's the voiceover studio engineer of the stars in Los Angeles, California, a Virginia Tech grad with a knowledge of recording studios unmatched in his field. He's a voice actor from Buffalo, New York, with 30 years experience in recording studios and behind the mic. He solves people's home voiceover studio problems in the blink of an eye. Together, there's no studio problem they can't solve, and they'll do it for you tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. Now, live from a basement in Buffalo and an office in L.A., here are Dan Leonard and George Whittam.
Good evening. I am Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together, we are East West Audio Body Shop. Again, another Sunday, and it's time to do EWABs again. How do we do it? Every week, it's like you guys keep showing up. I guess we might as well keep doing it.
I know. It's the thought I was just saying. I was like, we can't stop. People keep coming.
I know.
What are we going to do?
That's right. A little confusing on this end tonight because I just spent the last 2 hours installing a microwave oven.
Oh, man.
You know, it's like, can't we just hire somebody to do it? No. I've got a screwdriver. I'm going to do it. You know,
I'm a man, damn it.
I'm a man. Yes, I am. I am a man. And guess what? It worked.
All right. You know, I installed my own dishwasher, and I had no idea what I was doing. I even managed to blow a fuse, so I got you beat there.
How about a garbage disposal?
Yeah, no, I haven't done that.
Takes a special tool to switch it out of there. Oh, those of you that have ever changed a garbage disposal know exactly what
I don't want to work underneath a sink ever if I can avoid it.
Well, I get lots of clogs, so I'm under there a lot.
Must be the mustache hair coming.
It is. Anyway, despite all this insanity, we have a great show for you tonight. Our special guest tonight is a great friend of ours, lovely lady, just a wealth of knowledge about a lot of stuff in our business. Randy Kay will be on a little bit later on, and I guess a lot of people were at this voiceover mixer. I couldn't go. I was so disappointed. I just had too much stuff going on, and I could not get away. But apparently, you know, everybody from Timbuktu to Vancouver was there.
Yeah, I can't believe. I mean, some of the people I saw chiming in saying, I'm going. Like, really? Wow.
Yeah, really?
You guys have families or what? Like, wow.
Yeah, really? I mean, come
on. It's awesome. No, I'm glad some people got to go. It sounded like it was a real. Randy will fill us in.
Yeah. Did anybody send us any video or anything from that?
Yeah, no. I don't think I pushed it hard enough, but I mentioned it today, but. You know, everybody's there to have a good time and chat, and I'm sure any video would have had crappy audio probably anyway. Not to be sour grapes. Right. I do have a video from my own party, though, and I will share that in a little bit, though.
Can't wait. I can't wait to see that.
No, I mean, not my own party, but a party I was at.
I know.
It's got bad audio to go with it, but I think it's worth it.
You're starting to look like Clark Gable there a little bit.
Well, it ain't going to last the show, I'll tell you that.
See, now I could teach you how to sound like Clark Gable, because you almost sound like Clark Gable.
I almost sound like Clark Gable.
Just slow down and talk like that.
Just talk like that.
See, no. it's just like Clark Gable.
I'm getting voiceover lessons right on the show.
That's right.
Awesome.
See, easy to do. Anyway, we've got all sorts of great stuff to talk about tonight. You're going to be talking about different types of microphones, large diaphragm versus small diaphragm. And I got some great tips, although they go through really fast, about how to improve your auditions. And then Randy's going to join us. We have announcements. We've got this video of you at this party last night. You know, I mean, there was a voiceover mixer, and then there's hanging out at a party with Jim Cummings and a bunch of other big time
people. And Billy West. Oh my gosh. I got to hang out with Billy West for like ever. Like
no shit.
It was like midnight. He wasn't going to leave. He was just having too much fun telling stories, and I was there I just kept asking him more questions, and he was eating it up. I think he just liked hanging out and getting the attention, and just sharing stories. I mean, he was a trip, man. Awesome.
So when's he going to be on the show?
Well, definitely for next year. Absolutely.
You did give him our card, did you not?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, I even here's how I you know, I get people to come on. I'm like, so what do you do on Sunday nights usually? You know, like 6 to 7, you hanging out with the family, or what are you up to? You know, I try to corner him, you know. Rob Paulson, I saw him there too. I said the same thing. He was like, oh, I'm usually like wrapping up a golf game. And I was like, yeah, well, let me know if you could do the show. And he was like, absolutely. I would love to do it. I'm flattered. You know, he was very cool.
Well, he knows about us. We've asked him
yeah.
before.
Oh, yeah. It was just, you know, the face-to-face. There's nothing like that face-to-face, you know. And
that's right.
I hung out with Chuck and Stacy from VO Buzz Weekly. They were there. And Chuck knows a lot of those folks from recording them. And Jess Harnell and... a lot of people. It was a blast for me. Really, it was a lot of fun.
And I just went to the Philharmonic last night.
That's nice.
Oh, it was nice. It was a romantic program.
You probably don't have tinnitus.
Finished off by... I don't have tinnitus.
Like, well,
actually,
I do.
I have terrible tinnitus, but, you know, it doesn't stop me from going to the symphony.
Well, I mean, here's a question. Is tinnitus considered the permanent type of hearing loss or the... kind of hearing loss that you suffer from a loud concert and then it goes away?
Those are two different things.
Right,
I remember being at a Pat Benatar concert one night, way back when.
Yeah.
And I was standing right next to the speakers. The next day, my ears were ringing.
Well, that's what I have.
Yeah, no. All right. Tinnitus is more like shh.
Constantly. Okay.
You know?
Well, I don't have that, thank goodness. Everybody was, I think I posted that, and everybody thought I would, like, giving myself permanent hearing damage, and I was like, no, they're just a little bit of ringing in the ears. I've had that before. It's been quite a long time, but...
We have to have Dr. Bernstein on again to tell us all about it, because
yeah.
I've heard him explain tinnitus, and he's...
Well, like, actually, I'd like to hear that.
Well, Dan.
Yeah. We'll definitely have him back.
Absolutely. Okay. Actually, he was one of the most popular shows we've ever done.
I know. I was looking at the show count. His show is like one of the top three,
right?
If not one of the top shows. Period. It's up there with June
and Tom Kenny.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right.
Awesome.
Well, let's get into the meat of the matter, because we're here to talk about Home VoiceOver Studios. Not that our lives aren't exciting, but you know,
I guess.
I mean, hanging out with Billy West and Rob Paulson. That's nothing. Yeah. Let's talk about Home Studios.
Yeah, let's talk about something really interesting.
Yeah, like
all right. I did say we would talk about this stuff. All right. So I was specifically focusing on large diaphragm condensers, which are the standard studio microphone that you think of when you go into a studio or see a studio. Looks something like this. This is a Audio Technica 3035, which Dan, I think you have one too.
I do.
And they're really, really nice sounding mics for the money. Well under $300. And they've been replaced with a new model number, which is weird, but now it's called the 2035. But I think it's the same mic pretty much. And these are great mics. They're very easy to very easy to set up and use, and they give you good results. But this is a large diaphragm condenser, which is in common with the designs made by Neumann, such as the U87, the TLM-103, all their usual suspects, the Rode NT1A, that's so popular because of the price and performance ratio and all that. So we all kind of are familiar with those. But then there's the shotgun microphone. And when we talk about shotgun, by far the most popular shotgun microphone, you know, ever is, at least in this business, is the Sennheiser 416. And Dan's getting some visual... helping me out a little bit with some visuals here. Let me bring your shot up again. Dan has an unbelievable shotgun mic. If you're ever wondering why they called them shotgun mics, this is an example. The mic he's holding is an example as to why they got the name, because the original shotgun mics were the size of a shotgun. I mean, they're huge. How old is that mic, Dan?
This isn't too old. This is an AKG D900.
Okay. And is that a dynamic? Yes, it's a dynamic, right?
This is a dynamic, yeah. But it's you know, I haven't really used it. I think I used it on a couple of videos and stuff. But
so on that microphone, you know, if you look at how it widens out the bass, it gets thicker. It's mainly because that's a dynamic mic. It takes a larger body to fit the diaphragm, but the diaphragm for the microphone is right about probably where that silt. Do you think it's at the very end or at the very bottom, Dan? I think it's all the way down the end of the tube.
Probably.
Actually,
down
yeah, there, it's yeah. The diaphragm's right around where that silver ring is, where the label is. And so what it's doing is it's focusing the audio, which in sort of directing it down the tube to the diaphragm, while the rest of the audio that comes in at an angle from the sides and stuff sort of just passes right through those slots. And so it creates an extremely... I'm going to cut Dan's mic for a second. It cuts an extremely... he's going to plug it in. It creates an extremely directional signal pickup. Let's see if I can get Dan.
Okay. So, all right. There we go. All right. So
it's working.
Of course it's working. Why wouldn't it work? I paid a fortune for this freaking thing.
Oh, it sounds terrible, too, compared to the ribbon mic.
All right. Turn it down.
No, I mean, this is just shows you the advancements in microphone technology, and now especially since we've gone to condenser microphones. The Sennheiser 416 is a condenser style microphone. So it has got much better high-end response. Tastes change, right? You know, ribbon mic was the microphone of the announcer in the 40s, 50s,
30s.
30s, 40s, well into the 60s probably.
Probably till about 1968 or so, yeah.
Yeah, and it has a very warm sound. It's very rich, it's very warm.
That's right.
That's right. And you can get all, you know, you have to be within a few inches, maybe 4 to 5 inches, and it already, you know, it starts to give you that really full, warm bottom end.
Right. And they were designed actually to be far, far away.
Right.
Actually, about this distance.
They work great with a distance like that, except they need tons and gobs of gain, right? So the problem with digital recording now, it used to be there was so much noise floor from the tape machines that we were using, or the wire recorder, disc recorders, or film recorder, whatever the system we were using had so much noise that the you didn't really notice that the microphone itself was creating a lot of the noise. So now with digital recording, extremely low noise floor, and you know, just our standard of audio quality being raised in the last 30 years considerably, it's much harder to get that kind of a mic to sound nice and clean and quiet. So condenser mics are most popular. So why the 416? You know, this microphone was designed to be hung on a boom way overhead, and especially the one that Dan was holding, that would be used strictly outside. That would be used on exterior shots. Where the microphone has to be located, you know, at least probably 4 or 5 feet from the actors. That's when a microphone like that would be used, because it really focuses in really tightly on whoever it's aimed at. It's a very difficult mic to use on a boom pole. Very difficult, because imagine you got that thing at the end of 16 or 18 feet of pole, and you have to aim it so it's basically picking up a space about the size of a baseball right in front of the actor's mouth as they walk and move around. I mean, it is really challenging. So the same thing holds true in a home studio. So if you're using a Sennheiser 416, which is still a shotgun but not nearly as focused, it still has a pretty small sweet spot, probably the size of a softball maybe, or a grapefruit. And so you got to be in that zone. You have to be right in that pocket the whole time. No matter how animated you want to be, your head has to be almost locked like it's in a vise. Go online sometime and Google on YouTube and find a video of George Del Hoyo doing some voice work where he's like at his 416. It's on a desk stand. He's got his hand braced against the wall and his arm is going like crazy, but he's got his head locked in front of that microphone. Well, the mic does a great job as long as you're on mic. As soon as you leave the mic, as soon as you go 2 or 3 inches either side, the top end or the treble frequency just starts to go away really quickly. And it's very obvious. It's audible to the listener. So the 416 can work great as long as you've got awesome, stellar microphone technique and you're really good at staying disciplined about where you're located. The other thing that 416 is why people think that they're sort of a solve-all microphone. It's the perfect mic for traveling or whatever. And there's reasons why it is a great mic for traveling. The primary reason it is good for traveling is because it does reject more background noise and noise from the outside and that kind of stuff. And it also is very sensitive. So you don't need a really high-end mic preamp to get a good sound, you know, like a Micport Pro or an Apogee One or something works wonders with a 416. But the misconception is that it will also help reduce echo or reduce the pickup of echo. And that's actually not really the case, but it kind of depends on how it's being used. So think of the microphone like a spotlight or a flashlight. You know those mag lights where you can focus the beam and get narrow and get wide? So the 416 is a narrow spot, more of a spot, right? It's a spot. So it picks up what it's pointing at. So if you're standing there in front of the mic and the mic's pointing at you, it's still picking up you and then whatever's behind you. You know, it's picking up what's behind you. If what's behind you is a dry piece of drywall, you know, just a blank wall or a window, then it's picking up whatever is bouncing off that window. Well, what's bouncing off the window? Probably your voice, because your voice is bouncing around the room, bouncing off the window, and then going back into the microphone. And so it's really good at hearing what it's in front of it, right? So if what's in front of it's not good, it hears it really well. So you really do need to use treatment. You may not need as much of it around the room, but you still need some treatment around you and in a tight proximity to you to get the 416 to work well. Switching gears, and I'll wrap this up soon, but to the large diaphragm condenser, that's got a wider pickup, right? So it's picking up more of what's around it, but it's not so, it doesn't like have, it's not like it has the blinders on, right? So it's not going to be quite as problematic at a room with a little bit more reverberation. Now, it will still pick up more background noise, right? So you have to weigh the two. If you have more issues with back, there we go, there's a 3035 too without the shock mount. If you have issues with background noise, using a 416 is going to be more helpful. But if you have more issues, if your background noise is low, but you've got a little bit liver room, then you're not going to probably want to use a 416. You may want to use a large diaphragm condenser. So now there's another mic I can throw into the mix. And this is I wanted to do this tonight just for fun. I'm not using any of the above tonight. I'm not even using a dynamic mic. So I wanted to show you what microphone I'm using. And to prove I'm not using my usual microphone, I was going to unplug it.
I was going to say, it looks like you're using your Audix.
So let's do this.
All right. Yeah, see, George challenged us this week with this one. Is this the same mic we're talking about here?
Yes, I'm going to try to do this somewhat gracefully, but I didn't rehearse this, so.
All right.
It may cause a total disaster here.
What, people think you think we actually rehearsed this show? I mean, come on, man.
Oh, we do not. Okay, so now the microphone's gone, right? So those with eagle eyes might have noticed that there was another mic sort of riding along, going along for the ride. And this is a lapel mic, or a lavalier, as we call them now, a lavalier or lav microphone. This is a Countryman B3 something or other. It's got a long name. It's printed on the base of the plug that goes into the mixer. But it's a B3 capsule. It's several years old. I think it was definitely used when I bought it. So it's not the latest technology. They've gotten much better in the last probably since this was made. But as you can hear, it's got a pretty pleasing sound. It's pretty clean. Again, you guys are hearing the show through some processing. I mean, we do, you know, to make it sound kind of radio, we've got, you know, compression and gating and all sorts of stuff going on. So you are hearing it with some processing. But it's amazing how good a quality you can get out of a microphone like this. So really it comes down to how you position the microphone and how you kind of process it in the post. And I've got a little EQ, a little top end. I have the mid-range ducked out a little bit, and I have some bass turned up a little bit to kind of make it sound a little more pleasing. These microphones weren't designed to be spoken into like I am right now. They're designed to be down here on your shirt. So in order to get it to sound good when it's on your shirt, they can't have the response of the mic to be razor flat. If so, it would be really muffled and boomy. So these mics are EQ'd specifically for being here. So if it's in front of your face, you have to do a little bit of playing around.
Right. But I mean, you sound actually better on that than you do on the Audix. Now, you can hear a little bit more of the room ambiance with that.
Right.
You know, that's why you're using the Audix, because you're right up close and it's a dynamic mic and
it's a radio. It's not a radio mic, but this is basically what is inside an RE20. Yeah.
That's what a news guy would be using.
Yeah. This is a large diaphragm dynamic microphone, this Audix. And that's why I've been using it. And it has that sound. But fidelity wise, this microphone has a beat. I think it's got a nicer type of top end. But it picks up a lot more background noise in my studio. This microphone, being incredibly directional, hypercardioid, does not pick up much background, but I'm using this one, and I can hear the computer fan and stuff I didn't hear before. So it's a trade-off as to what mic you're using, but don't be cornered by saying, well, this is the mic you have to get. It's right. Not true. There's a lot of variations, and you can get very creative with positioning. Somebody said, is there a difference between the 2035, 3035, and 3035?
Yeah, well, the 3035 is out of production. The 2035 replaced it.
Right. And they dropped the 3000 series. They just dropped right. that whole series. So they just shoved it into the 2000 series, right. I think is what
right.
they did.
Right. And the 3035 and 2035 have a bass roll-off and a 10 dB pad on it. So that's really the only difference.
I don't know what the 8035 is, though, D-Vox. I haven't seen that one yet. It may have come out recently. I don't know. Anyway, so there you go. I didn't, no fancy slideshows for you guys. I just wanted to kind of run down my opinion on why one mic can be better than the other. So hope that helps a little bit.
All right. Well, we got lots more coming up tonight here on East West Audio Body Shop. Our announcements are coming up, but we got a long list tonight, too. It doesn't get any shorter. It was shorter last week. It's a lot longer this week. And we've got Randy K coming up. We've got my tip of the week. And lots more here on East West Audio Body Shop. Where else would you rather be Sunday night? I don't know. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
All right.
Welcome back to eWabs. We were expecting you, but we still didn't bake a cake. Here's Dan and George.
Boy, I guess suddenly it got really cold here in Buffalo, and I just froze solid.
It happens.
Maybe that's what it is. But apparently I'm moving again. At least it looks like I'm moving. And it was snowing this week. Looking out my window, it was wonderful.
Did it stick around?
Until it turned 50 degrees today. But other than that, it's going to be a long winter. I can tell.
Well, you know what it's time for.
It is now time for announcements. Announcements.
All righty. Well, we got a ton of them tonight. There is just so much going on. Let's start off with Movember because it's now Mosember.
Mm-hmm.
So how'd you do? How did we do? I haven't really been checking in because everybody's like, well, you can't, Dan. You didn't shave yours off. I'm like, I'm not right. shaving mine off, but you grew yours, and we had the Movo group. How did we do?
We did as a group. We did pretty darn well. We raised $2,595.
Raising money for men's cancer awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So way to go, guys.
Yeah, really. We had some great people on that team, Jeff Kafer and Anthony Gettig and a bunch of other people who grew mustaches for men's research.
Yeah, if you're on the team and we didn't mention you guys are watching, then chime in because I for some reason forgot to look at the list. So, but congratulations, everybody, and I'm really glad. It was fun to do. And now I finally get to... And to be honest, I'm kind of used to the mustache now. It's been here just long enough that I've gotten used to it, but... Somebody else has not, and
it's one of two people.
Yeah, so that particular person would like it to be gone. So here you go for Amy and all the wives out there that don't like mustaches on their men. I'm going to do this for you right now. Let's see if I can do this. There you go.
I think this would have been a little bit more effective.
But, oh, man, no way. Hey, go ahead, let me get your camera on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there we go. There. Show everybody what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, I think this probably would have been the most effective stuff to use.
You know, I was sitting on the sofa the other night, and I was playing around with Netflix on my cell phone, and I found Jackass 3. Right?
Oh.
And there are scenes in there where they use super glue to remove hair.
Right.
It was nasty. Glue all over one guy's hand, the guy put it on his dad's back, which was real hairy. 2 minutes, held it on there and ripped it off. And he had hairy palms. It was so nasty. Anyway, there you go. It's gone. I got to use the other part of the shaver, but I won't do that now.
I use a blade.
You know
Never
what?
Use an electric.
Yeah, I know it. You can get a closer shave with a blade. There's no doubt about that.
Jeff, just not tonight. You can see it is Sunday evening after all. What else we got going on here? We've got the pop filters. Everybody get their pop filter yet?
Not everybody. No, I apologize. I got a batch out. I ran out of packing material. I got another batch of packing material in, but I had a crazy week because I was just doing this big old marketing push. With the help of John Florian and a few others, and it was really successful. So I want to thank everybody who pitched in and bought some service credits, and you guys all helped the Whittem family have a great Christmas. So I appreciate it from everybody that was able to buy into the 25% discount, and it really helped. But it kept me very busy. A lot of questions coming in. There was so much going on. So I promise the rest of those pop screens are going out this week, and you guys will definitely all have them by the end of the holidays for sure. Probably a lot sooner than that.
Right. I mean, they are the fashion statement today.
Yeah. Well, we did get someone send in a picture.
Yes, we did.
Picture? It came to mind just now, but I didn't prepare long enough to find it in advance of the show, but who was it? Where is it? And where is the Yeah, okay, everybody. We have so many darn places now to read about the show on Facebook, right? We've got East West Audio Body Shop is the original account. We've got East West Audio Body Shop, and that is our new Facebook page. And that's really where we'd love all you guys to be chiming in and paying attention to what's going on. Please do watch that page and like the page. Because that's where we're going to focus most of our energy now. It's a better place for a show like ours to be on Facebook. It's a better place for any of you that have a business that you want to promote to be anyway. And it's much easier for us to share information there.
And we like to be liked.
And we like to be liked. So please like us.
Please like us.
And if you go on there, you will see that we have a blooper reel.
One blooper though.
One good blooper. I mean, we don't have a lot of bloopers yet. Believe it or not, we bang out those promos relatively smoothly. We don't usually have a lot of issues.
We are professionals. Try this at home.
Yeah,
we are.
All right, here we go. I got Lee Penny holding up his. He's got his. Let's show everybody there. All right, Lee, you the man. There he is.
I especially like the MacBook there.
Oh yeah, that mustache sticker on there is fantastic.
My wife and I just celebrated our 18th anniversary, and she gave me a couple of interesting things. And she gave me this book. You have to show me the next one here. I would love to chat, but I really must stash.
I get it. Okay, I got it.
And then she gave me some coasters.
Awesome,
yes.
Man.
Oh, yes. Oh, also, and my helicopter, but we won't get into that right now. Also, what else we got going on? Speaking of cool stuff, the holidaymagiccd.com for children's hospitals around the country, and I'm sure you probably have one near a town. I know we have a big children's hospital here in Buffalo. Great organization. And connect with voiceover talent Jeff Gelder. It's 10th anniversary of this on December 8th, which is next week, in San Diego, America's sunniest city, except when I'm there, it always rains. go to holidaymagiccd.com for more information. Also, hey, it's the season for swag. Mm-hmm. I mean, I mean, we like to have swag. I mean, we've got our East West Audio Body Shop mugs and T-shirts and you know, and of course our wonderful neoprene
laptop case and notebook case,
iPad case, mm-hmm. And of course, wonderful T-shirts and sweatshirts. And all you have to do is go to shop.ewabs.com and take your pick of that stuff. Makes the greatest gift mm-hmm. to someone who's like, so that's what you do on Sunday night, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, we you know, a little bit from each sale goes to support the show. And if you just don't need any stuff, and your shopping list's full already, you know, just make a little donation to the show. Click the little donation link at the top of ewabs.com, and we really, really appreciate it. And if you really want to help the show and you want to be a recurring member and get instant access to email responses from Dan and George for the whole year, you can join on and be a member for $39.95. And that would be the best possible way that you can keep our show on the air and just be tuned in to everything that we know when you need to know it.
That's right. All right. Now we're starting to run late on time here.
It's yeah, a little
whoosh,
bit.
Whoosh, just going.
Whoosh,
by.
Just anyway, like that. Joan Baker's right. Coming on in the 9th. Lisa Biggs on the 16th.
And the Voxy Ladies. Yes, we're actually gonna have a little Hanukkah party here next Sunday night when Joan Baker is here.
Oh, cool.
Hopefully, I won't burn the studio down.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's now time to move on to Tip of the Week, and everybody asks about auditions and how do you do auditions and stuff like that. Here is a very rapid go down through what I think are the important things you need to do.
Without further ado.
One of the things we do as voice actors more than anything else is audition. And with peer-to-peer networks, it's all you do. If your agent sends you an audition, you get it back as soon as you can. But you're not alone. 40, 50, 100 other people are vying for the same project. So how do you help your odds? All the coaches have their tips and tricks. Sound like you're busy. Dan Leonard reading for the part of Olaf. Do the slate in character.
Dan Leonard reading for the part of Igor.
And a bunch of other things. But before you send anything out, it better sound like you know what you're doing in your studio. And you can do that by making a couple of things standard practice. 1. Record at the proper level. If you don't set your levels right, it's like saying you're an amateur on the Jumbotron. 2. Record in and deliver your audio in one-track mono. You wouldn't believe how many times I've been asked, doesn't it sound better in stereo? Your voice only comes from one place. Standard procedure is one-track mono. Slates. If the audition notes say, audition with slates will be discarded, don't slate. If you do slate, keep it simple. Dan Leonard, 2 takes. Lead-in time. I used to think 1 second lead time was good. People don't want to hear silence. Make it half a second. Once I started doing that, my response and conversion rate went way up. Clean things up. Make sure that there's no editing noises, like clicks and pops, and that your noise floor has been properly lowered in volume so you don't hear it at the ends of words. Processing. If you understand how and why, use a little compression and expansion to even things out. But don't try to make things sound like they're on the radio. Keep your audio sounding natural. If you're confident about your audio, you'll be able to relax and be yourself. Most importantly, all coaches agree on one thing. If you want to get hired, you don't want to sound like everyone else. If you've got your audio under control, you can be more confident about your performance. How will you do a script differently,
And how are you going to stand out from the pack when you get it that way? And that's my tip of the week.
Yeah, I also failed to mention there, you also want to be louder than everybody else, but not that loud.
Yeah.
You know, I find that, you know, it's like, well, maybe I should try it this way. Maybe I should try it that way. One of the things I've been doing, I used to try and make it pretty loud.
What's
yes.
going on? You're in my right ear.
What?
And I'm in my left. What's going on? I'm on the left and you're on the right. Oh, that's what I know what it is. We're stereo.
It's stereo.
The only way you can have stereo, folks, is to have more than one source of audio. And in this case, we've got two. So I put myself on the left and on the right.
That's right.
But if you're not listening on, you know, if you're not watching it on headphones, you may not have noticed that. So let's put everybody back in the middle where we belong. Okay, sorry.
That's
where were you, Dan? Sorry.
Okay. Oh, I was talking about making things loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that, you know, I used to think that, well, just, you know, get it up to about -3 or up to -1. Now I've just gone down to compressing it and putting it up to and normalizing to -3.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I love finishing number one on you know, on like these auditions, and things have just been going great. So I must have hit something the right way there.
Yeah.
So why am I telling all you guys this, my competition? No.
Well, you know, people hire me to teach them this stuff all the time. And what I've been telling them now is like, you know how all your competition has already hired me, so you... So they're all using these tips. So
that's right.
If you're not doing it too, you're one step behind.
So the only thing that's going to make a difference is how you're different, how you're going to interpret the script differently. That's the key, kids. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, somebody with a lot of other great tips is going to be joining us, and she's probably going, when am I going to get on this show? For
this guy's
going to
stop blabbing. This is the longest first 40 minutes of the show we've ever had.
No, it isn't.
No,
it isn't. But anyway... Randy Kay will be with us in just a minute, so stay right where you are. We'll be right back here at East West Audio Body Shop.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
Danny did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
So what else are you planning on doing tonight? I thought so. Now back to East West Audio Body Shop with Dan and George.
All righty, we have returned. And not a moment too soon, because Randy was like, what is going on? These guys are just talking away. Randy Kay, welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. We've been wanting to have you on for some time, and now we have the chance. Hi there.
Hi, it's so good to see you guys. Missed
Wonderful.
You last night, though.
I know. So tell us... I so much wanted to be at the mixer, but I could not get away. How was it? What went on there? Who was there? Drop names.
Name drop. Name drop.
There's so, well, you guys weren't there, so that brings it down a notch. Oh. But it was, you know, you would think I wasn't there because I hardly got in any pictures at all. But truly, I was. Oh, Dan Friedman, Liz D'Anestra, you know, Kelly Buttrick, the Voxy ladies were all there. Of course, Eric Shepard and Lindsay Shepard and newly engaged Terry Daniel was there with Tracy. I got to see the ring. It was really wonderful. It's a good time.
It's great. Now, was there any entertainment, or was it just people yapping away?
Well, first, it depends on which mixer. A lot of people went out Friday night, but I was coaching and booked, and I couldn't. So I missed that, but many stayed up, like Trish the Dish stayed up till 6 a.m., I think. I don't want to spread.
She doesn't sleep.
Many people stayed up late Friday night, but we all met. Many of us met for lunch at Mustang Harry's, and I was able to go there. And the Sowers were there. Bob and his two kids, Karen and Eric. Trish was there. People came and went. It Peter Bishop. I mean, I don't want to start naming names because then people are like, "Why does she leave me out?"
Someone gets left out. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
And then we walked to Edge Studio, which was a good mile and change, and they had a little free mixer there. And then we left there, and although Edge said, "Oh, don't worry, it's not far from where the mixer is," it was another mile walking back downtown to the mixer, although some of us took a cab. But it was great. There was some kind of band playing, but not as bad as what you went. I'm sure the band was great last night, George, but I know you had the ear thing. Was loud, but not ear-breakingly loud.
Good.
So it was good. Just there were a couple of pool tables and ping pong tables and just a lot of chatting. It was actually not like a crowded zoo. Like you could actually spread out and talk to people, and it was a great time. And then there was going out in the bar afterwards, and then I hear tell there was another bar after that, but I caught the train back to Connecticut. So
wise move.
I have voiceovers to do today.
Yeah.
So.
Right, and that's going to be the last one too. I guess George, you and I are going to have a mixer somewhere.
Yeah,
we'll have it in Kansas City.
Yeah,
meet halfway.
We'll have the Midwest Audio Body Shop mixer or something like that.
Yeah, really, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, Randy, it's great to have you with us tonight, and you've been. I don't want to go out there and say, "Well, you've been doing this a long time." So have I, but we're both kids, so we can get away with saying that. I know we know you was doing a lot of great stuff, but here's the number one. We even asked Tom Kenny this question. How did you get started in voiceover? Because you're an actress too.
Actor, yeah.
Well, we all are. We're all many different things, and I'm also a radio talent. But it all kind of meshes together. I actually got started because I was pregnant, and I had come from doing some film, some TV, a lot of stage. I was a lead singer in a band, and then I moved to Connecticut. My life changed in 6 months. Met my first husband. Got married. Got pregnant. And suddenly, oh my God, how do I keep working? So I was in an actor support group and they went, "Well, why don't you just do voiceovers while you're pregnant?" I went, "Oh, voiceovers. Oh yeah, that's when they don't see me. Oh, I think I could do that."
Oh yeah, that sounds good.
Sure.
That's good. So, I just did the same, actually the exact same thing that someone has to do today in this order, which I stole from Judy Carter, who teaches stand-up comedy. Get good, get noticed, get paid, in that order. So, took a little extra training. It was, maybe a shorter cut than someone who hasn't already done improv and acting their whole life, but still there's special training. Wrote myself some copy, hired a studio to do my demo who could maybe hire me back, and they did. Hired another studio to reproduce the demo back when that had to be done, who could hire me back, and they did, and still use me. And then it was, draw a radius of an hour and a half travel time from where I live and where am I willing to go, and then word of mouth and referrals. And that's how I started. Same way anybody else does, except we didn't have the computer. It was, it was snail mail marketing and yellow pages. But the process is no different, really. It's just enhanced by the computer. And then, I just kept going, kept learning. I had another baby, so I was happy to be home taking care of my kids. And, Then my husband sort of left us. That's a whole other story and for another time. But I had no child support and had to raise my kids. I went, I need to do something else. So I decided to just build my skill level and got a gig on a radio station on the weekends, back when you could do that, just cutting my teeth in the early hours. And they brought me up to Saturday and Sunday afternoons, which was sort of part of my acting profile for a lot of years, 3 years actually, but I just volunteered. I went, "I'll learn traffic. I'll do the morning show. Oh, they got appendicitis. I'll fill in." And I learned my skills. It was a free education and they offered me PM drive. So I did that for 7 years. And then it's just one of these like step up, show up, volunteer. I ended up filling in for the morning show second banana while she was on vacation because I just wanted a change of pace. They fired her and hired me. And then 8 years later, they fired me and hired someone else. So that's radio for you.
Yeah.
But,
oh boy,
we're going in another direction.
Right, right. That's what they say, right?
Well, they had offered me a contract, and I just didn't like the direction they were going in. And anyway, it was a divorce. Let's call it a divorce.
But, okay.
You know, I said full time. Great. Now I can do full time voiceover. And by then, you know, I was able to get ISDN and a home studio, and and of course I knew production from being at a radio station, and just dove in full time. So yeah. This is my main gig.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a second. I mean, you were talking about how you were in radio. I came out of radio, and you were saying that, you know, coming out of radio isn't necessarily the kiss of death in doing voiceover, but it certainly isn't. It can be a help. It can be a hindrance. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I actually wrote a thing for VoiceOver Extra on this because I got tired of it getting a bad rap. And yet, as a coach for Edge Studio, I do meet a lot of people who come out of radio and only know how to do the straight announcer read.
That's right.
That's right. And coming down. And it's not that it's bad. It's just you're sort of a one-dimensional voice actor, if that's all you can do. And we certainly all do our share of radio spots where all they want is that 64 seconds of copy done in 59.5 and just sound happy. So that still exists. But here's what radio taught me: timing, production skills, cold reading like nobody's business. But because I was on the morning show and I got to totally be who I am, which is the middle sister between two brothers. And there I was on the morning show with two guys. And I just spent a lot of time going, shut up, you guys. You don't know what you're talking about, which was true. And, well, because they were talking about parenting, and the only perfect parents are the ones that have no children, as we well know.
Right.
So I was able to, my personality on the radio. I was doing endorsements. I was doing a lot of stuff that actually used my personality, not just reading copy. So in my case, being a morning personality, it was improv. You know, it really prepared me for the type of stuff you want to do in commercials now.
Yeah. Yeah, I came out of radio the same way. And, of course, I there was like 20 years between when I really got out of the radio and got back into voiceover. But, you know, it does teach you basics. If anything, I think for doing in the business today, it's the technical aspects of it. Because you and I were back in it when we were the engineers. We were the one that turned the dials. We were the one that were watching the VU meter. And we talk to these people on radio today. Well, I just show up and the engineer does this. You're not doing radio. That's not radio.
That's why the air talents are making minimum wage, because they're paying the engineers.
That's right. Mm. Yeah. Well, that's okay. They were but I was on the air and an engineer, and they were still paying me minimum wage.
That's another story.
Go. That's another long story. Anyway, you've had a pretty interesting life too, and I know you've had some personal trouble. I mean, you've been talking about some of your weird stuff, but you wrote a book recently about something that's near and dear to you.
You mean my child?
Yes.
Yeah. One of my children. Everybody's life looks interesting to other people, but I'm clearly an open book. Most people know that I will talk about anything about me, just ask me anything. But when it comes to talking about people you love, you need to get their permission. But the child I was pregnant with when I started in voiceover, as you know, we progressed, he started developing symptoms during adolescence, and most teenagers do. Wait, George, you'll see. But when my friend's kids were getting better, my son was getting worse. And 5 years of chaos, it turned out that he has a diagnosis of schizophrenia, which was, as you might imagine, devastating, but also at that point a relief to know what was wrong.
Right.
And, you know, we went through diagnosis roulette and different medications, and I'm proud to say that with the right medication and our love and community and support and structure, he is doing great. He's in school. He just brought home 100 on an essay. 100.
All right.
Oh, man.
Excellent.
And it was on voice and diction class in the theater department. So that was amazing. And he works part-time, and it's not what people think of when they think of schizophrenia. So I thought, you know what, let's just pay some respect here and talk about hope. Yes, I want people to know what we went through when we didn't understand it and the chaos. And you know, there is loss, obviously, when a child gets an illness. But also that not all hope is lost. We are lucky. My son is doing great. I call him Ben in the book. That's not his real name, but I'll refer to that here. And so I happen to have a copy of the book.
Show us.
See it? Yes. Here it is. It's all dog-eared and everything because I was using it. I just spoke to synagogues and churches about how congregations. So it's called Ben Behind His Voices. That's the book. And I also got to voice the audiobook. I got hired as a narrator to voice my own audiobook.
Awesome.
Talk about weird, because you want to rewrite it as you're reading it.
You can't. I can only imagine. Oh, man.
You have to honor the author's words. And I'm like, shoot, I'm the author. So, and it got nominated for a Listen Up Award in the Read by Author category. So that was kind of cool last year.
Outstanding.
And, so that book's distributed on the usual locations?
Barnes & Noble, Amazon. You can get it online or in bookstores or your library, or you can get it just download by Audible. You know, the usual book things. It's been out about a year. And every so often, I hop on a plane for non-voiceover reasons, and I go speak to psychiatrists or psychiatric nurses or the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, or whoever invites me to come and speak. College students, I'm going to Alliance, Ohio in May. I'm going to St. Louis next weekend. So, and of course, I bring my travel gear. But it's kind of like putting the jigsaw puzzle pieces of a life together. I'm a full-time VO talent, but these other things that I do, public speaking and writing, you know, it all meshes together. It makes us more well-rounded voice actors. So.
Well, since you did bring it up, your travel gear, let's segue to what you use. First, we'll start with the travel gear since you mentioned travel gear.
Okay, you're cutting out for me. I don't know how the sound is. I'm not hearing you as well.
Sorry.
We hear you.
You are perfectly clear. Are you able to understand what I'm saying, though?
Right. I don't understand you, but as long as the listeners can and you can understand each other.
Dan, can you answer the questions.
All right. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're both cutting out, actually.
Skype. Yeah, okay. We got Skyped.
Check in the chat room. If everybody else can hear, I can kind of make out. It's kind of like speaking to my foreign clients. I can make out what you're saying, sort of.
Well, let's do one thing. I'm gonna cut and I'm gonna call right back. Just stand by, because we know how Skype can play games on us with us a lot. And I warned Randy about this before the show. I was like, if I hang up on you, it's not because I don't like what you're saying. It's because I'm just trying to fix the audio and whatever's going on with Skype. So let's see if Randy calls or answers the call back here. Dan's back.
I'm back. Except my video.
No, I see you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, she was sounding okay to us, but I want to make sure she can hear us too, and that's really important.
Okay.
And are we doing better now, Randy?
Yes, I can hear all of your words.
That's why I warned you that we might dump the call because Skype is really unpredictable.
Yeah, actually, we talk this way. So
don't do that to me.
Turn your camera back on, Randy. Yeah. Click on your little camera.
Oh.
Because that's the best part.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Here we go. Hello.
Hello.
You're just getting used to the Mac too, right?
Pardon me?
You're just getting accustomed to the Mac, right?
I am getting accustomed. Yes, it's my husband's laptop, so I'm having to do the mouse on the pad instead of, but I'm here.
So while you
were calling me back, I got my microphones to show you.
Cool.
So I was using, I will freely admit it because I am an open book. I was traveling with my Snowball Blue, and I got things beautifully on the air with that thing. So for some reason it worked for me on my honeymoon with my wonderful new husband, Jeff. He's holding up the quilts while I'm recording a commercial. So that's how he knew. Hi honey, it's our honeymoon, but I have a spot to do. So would you hold up the quilt?
That's awesome. I think you can get away with the Snowball when you have a great, powerful voice. When you have a strong radio, you've got that powerful voice. The Blue is not a very sensitive microphone. So when you have good pipes and an announcer or, you know, you've got that power behind it, I think you can get a pretty good sound with it. But a lot of people who are doing book narration or doing quiet stuff, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I get that. I think that's a really good point. I do have a picture somewhere on Facebook where I was actually touring with the book in Las Vegas, and they had me in this cavernous room where you can't turn the fan off. So I ended up taking the cushions from the couch, and I built a toilet fort around the toilet.
Oh, yes, you're the one that did that. I remember that.
Yes,
I will try to have a link to that in the show notes, because that was awesome.
It got on the air, too. But for some cruise line. Anyway, so then I went to FAFCON and started met you guys and started learning about other mics. So this is Amy Snively recommended to me the AT8035 that I was saying in the chat room. It's a shotgun.
Yes.
And you know, I heard at FAFCON that sometimes you just take the quilt from the bed and you put it over your head and just hide under there with the shotgun like this.
Uh-huh.
And I got my Micport Pro, and then I did that for a while. So
it works pretty well. Short for short reads, not for long stuff, but for short stuff for sure.
Because the arm hurts after a while. But and now I just got my iPad and my Apogee mic.
Oh,
which right on. I think I sent you that test. I wasn't really setting it up. I do have to send it back to you, George. I wasn't setting it up as, let's just say I didn't use the scientific method. I just had it. I was making a video of me making mistakes that I could show my students that we're all human, and I put that up on YouTube. So I had the iPad and the Apogee mic there, and while I was there, I just thought I would just do a little test, and
I spoke
into that, and then I spoke into mine, and the sound was really good. You need to see the mic. I can show it to you.
I think almost everybody's probably seen it by now, but if it's right off elbow.
We love showing it off, so.
Yeah, so it's I did not hear that, Dan, because you're cutting out it. I'm sure it was brilliant what you said. But anyway, so that's that's what I use now. I've just started with the iPad and the Apogee. I've had pretty good luck with it, but I'm going to contact you, George, as you know, because I'm just playing with Twisted Wave. I'm new to it. I'm an Adobe Audition girl, and I'm learning as I go, but I think with a little expert help, things always go easier.
Well, you were talking about your students. Can you hear me now? Okay, good. You were talking about your students. You do coaching. You work with Edge Studios, and what's coaching like for you, and how did you get into that, and how often do you do it, and how do you do it? And what a color is the moon? I don't know. Just rambling along here, but talk to us a little bit about your coaching.
Okay, well, David Goldberg, as you know, runs Edge Studio, owns Edge Studio. He's the mastermind behind everything. And when I left radio, I had done voiceovers for them because they have a studio in New York and one in Connecticut. And I had done voiceovers actually for him in both places. They were looking for a coach and he called me. And I went, I don't know how I do this. I just do it. Very right brain, you know. And he said, oh, just watch a couple of people coach and I'm sure you'll get it. So I did. And I thought, oh, yeah, that is how I do that. You know, it's kind of like breaking down, like when you try to teach someone to drive a stick, like you don't know how you do it. I mean, a stick-shaped car, not a stick, but you don't know how you do it anymore. So taking something you do naturally and breaking it down to little steps to teach people how to strengthen their skills is something I kind of had to relearn what I did. But, you know, I do it part-time, very part-time. I'm a voiceover talent primarily. I enjoy coaching. Maybe about 10% of what I do is coaching. So I coach for Edge Studio. I teach the beginner classes. I teach at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. I teach one voiceover class. And I can coach people all the way to their demo. I love – the hardest thing is getting newbies – away from reading cadence into just communication cadence. That's the thing. You know, the difference between reading and talking is worlds apart because we learn to read with a different part of our brain than what we learn to speak with. So that's the trick to get those words, lift them off the page, and communicate them to the listener. So I love the coaching. I wouldn't want it to be my primary thing because I just enjoy doing the work so much. But it's made me a better voice talent, and I feel so good when my students get work. I feel like a proud mommy, you know. So even if they're older than I am, it's a very cool thing. So I enjoy it a lot, and I love it where it is, like 10% of my business.
Yeah. That's a perfect example of you teach best that which you need to learn most, which is the teacher's creed, actually. Somebody asked about some of the marketing stuff that you talk about because you're great at marketing and you're always talking about it. What are you up to these days with that?
Okay, so you are cutting out, but I think the question is about marketing and how do I do marketing and what do I know? Is that it?
Close enough. Go for it.
Okay, so you know, obviously, the thing with marketing is, as you know, the business keeps changing so much. I've just attended a webinar as a professional speaker that, and it all connects about things that are coming up and should we use Pinterest or not use Pinterest and how everything is about YouTube now. And in 3 years, we're going to be able to push a button and see holograms. And it's just crazy stuff what's happening, but very exciting. I feel about marketing that you just plant a lot of seeds, and some of them you deliberately plant and some of them you just throw in the garden and see what happens. I always have my eyes and ears open for opportunities. I love what I do. I love to talk about it. So I keep my eyes and ears open. I respond when people are interested. I mention what I do and I follow up. Like I met three people at the mixer last night who said either, oh, I have to have you on the show for the book, or, oh, yes, I've got that job for you. Well, I've got their cards and I want to send them an email. So it was just so great to meet you this weekend. And yes, you know, just so you know, I'd be delighted to be on your show, or I'd be delighted to voice that medical narration for you. So I'm here when you need me. And I don't nag people, but I do follow up because that's the step we often miss. We kind of go, yeah, I should talk to that person someday. So I do that. I'm on Twitter. I love the social media trio, but this is how I feel about online. You know, you guys know I'm online a lot, but I don't like to post anything unless I think it's funny, and hopefully you will too, or it's something that will help somebody, or something that will start a conversation. Other than that, I haven't yet posted, you know, pictures of what I made for breakfast, although it is interesting to see what other people do, and that's funny to comment on sometimes. But I try to keep it to that, something that will spark something or be of service to somebody else or maybe make someone laugh. It's kind of my rule.
Yeah. Well, marketing is definitely one of the most important things that I think people need to understand. It's one of the disciplines of being in voiceover. Is you're running a business, you have to advertise, you have to market yourself. And everybody's got their own way of doing it. And eventually everybody finds the right way to do it. But you've got some great suggestions about that. Now, another thing that you and I are very, very involved in the voiceover community. You know, we keep bumping into each other all over the place in Los Angeles, Atlanta, Hershey, Pennsylvania. We go to all these things. We just have a great time. I think the conferences are better, you know, just for getting together with the people you know, and having a few drinks too. What do you think about the community? I know you've joined us now with the World Voices Organization, and you're really involved. So if tell people what you think of how you interpret this amazing voiceover community. I mean, I have my own thoughts on it, but what do you think about it?
I think they're going to be similar. I mean, I am a people person. And even when I got into radio, my theater friends said to me, the only thing problem is you're going to be lonely because you're in that booth alone all day long. And, you know, that's true. I was like, please, listeners, call me up. I love voiceover, and I remember when I started, sometimes there'd be these e-learning projects where there were like 13 different characters, and they'd have to call us all in, and we'd sit in the waiting room, and we'd talk to each other, and then we'd be called in, and it was like a party every time you had a voiceover job. Well, as you know, it's gotten way more convenient. We can all work in our sweatpants or whatever. I'd say, even though I do travel still to studios, increasingly, a larger percentage is done from my home studio. It's certainly up to 60-65%, and I just had 3 audiobooks dropped into my lap that have to be done before Christmas, so it's going to be a high percentage over the next few weeks. But it's lonely, and what makes it less not lonely like in a bad way, but I need people. I'm one of those E people for extrovert. Like, I just need people around me, so I could go to the gym, but doesn't quite do it like going to FAFCON. So I love and need to meet, even if I just go to Facebook for a few minutes, it's like our water cooler where we just go, how's everybody doing today? Just check in, see if anybody said anything funny, and then go back to work. It's like that 5-minute break. And having met so many in person, we're not just Facebook friends anymore. We're not like just online friends anymore, because we all made the effort to show up and be there for each other and go the extra mile. And now it's a real relationship. And so much last night, people were going, oh, good night, I love you, and I love you. And I says, you know what? I do love these people. It's awesome. So it helps to know, if you've been in your own studio all day long, you and your microphone and your computer mouse, that other people are where they are doing the same thing, and we keep in touch. And the community is the funniest best, most giving, sharing people ever. I just love the voiceover community. It means a lot to me, obviously.
Yeah, and me too. I mean, it's made it all worth it. I don't think if this community was there, it would really be any fun doing, or you wouldn't learn anything. And I think you really need to associate with other creative people. And but I think it's fairly unique to the voiceover community. I'm sure photographers talk to each other. I'm sure plumbers talk to each other, but not the way voiceover people do.
No, I was at this party the other night, like last night. So
Right?
Yeah, no, I'm not dropping names, but we were just talking about how this is the most supportive industry out there, because Billy West was in New York working on the Stern Show, and he was in the New York scene for a long time. And he said, well, the big difference is, and this is a little pessimistic, but this is his sense of humor. In New York, they stab you right in the chest. In L.A., they stab you in the back. That's what he said. But I mean, you know, but again, voice actors are more supportive of each other than any other part of the entertainment industry, I think.
It's true. And I think more than any other part of the industry, like, I love theater and I miss theater, even though, as one casting director told me, it's a rich man's hobby because the pay isn't really, you can't support yourself on it most of the time. But I love it and I miss it. I miss that camaraderie. But the voiceover talents, we don't have to compete, you know, in that way. Like, Dan, you and I are not going to be up for the same part necessarily.
Yeah, and face to face.
Right. You know, my mustache doesn't quite rival yours. And so it's just really everybody helps everybody else get started. And I think because of all ends of the industry, we probably, those of us at least in our home studios, we have the most control over our business. I've been in New York. I grew up in New York. I spent 4 years in L.A. and I loved it. And then I didn't love it. And I left. And I know with my home studio, I don't have to sit back and wait for my agent to call. I love where my business is, because if I don't have any bookings today, then great. Then I get to do some marketing. Then I get to research some new potential clients. Then I try to find the passion in the marketing and think of it as making new friends, helping more people rather than, oh my God, I've got to contact someone. Because I find, I'll tell you, 95% of my business is repeat and referral. But for that extra 5%, it is, it's a little digging. But then sometimes I find people and they go, oh, my God, I'm so glad you contacted me. So it gives us a sense of control over our business, which I think makes us a little less insecure than when you have to sit around and wait for the casting director to call you. That's my theory anyway.
I think you're absolutely right. Well, Randy, I love you. I love having you on our show. It's been way too long. But we've waited to have you on and we're going to have you on again because you got more stuff to say, I'm sure.
My pleasure. I love it.
And I was being really quiet because I realized it was me making any little noise that would cut Dan's mic out so Randy couldn't hear. So that's why I was being so quiet the whole show. But thank you again. You were really, really wonderful. And please do come back again in 2013.
Absolutely. Invite me and I'll be there just like a party. Thanks,
Alrighty.
Guys.
All right. Thanks, Randy. All righty. Well, we got a little bit more coming our way. I got to cut out a little early. The wife wants to watch Dexter. So, you know, what are we going to do? Okay. So we'll be right back here in East West Audio Body Shop. So stay right where you are.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
Now back to EWAVs. Thank Dan and George's wives. For what? You have no idea. Now, here's Dan and George.
Yes, you have no idea. Anyway, are we back here?
We're back.
Okay, I'm not seeing anything.
No, trust me, we're back.
Okay, all right.
There must be a really long delay on the video feed right now.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. I trust you implicitly, George. Otherwise, this show would just be dead air.
I trust the chat room, actually. Because right. if they're not telling me something's wrong, I don't have no idea. So right. the yes. chat room is, I have my eyes glued on the chat room, I'd say, 2/3 of the time, so...
Yeah. Well, I'm glad somebody was watching that. Yeah. Now, interesting proof of concept there with that mic.
Yeah.
That mic was not helping us during that conversation.
No, you know, exactly what I was saying. You know, sometimes one of us will be the cause of problems, and tonight it was me. So when I was typing in the chat room and making any little sound, it was cutting out Dan's mic so that Randy couldn't hear. It wasn't affecting what I was hearing, which is what you guys hear. But that just shows you how complex the Skype thing is and what it's trying to do with the audio. And sometimes it just causes real problems for somebody. And this time it was Randy. So sorry, Randy. Yeah.
No, but she was great. She's mm-hmm. got great stuff to say. And speaking about other stuff that's great, we have a great sponsor here. We talk about him every week because we love talking about him because he's got the best stuff out there. Harlan Hogan, voiceoveressentials.com. It's the holiday season. If you have somebody on your voiceover gift list, I mean, Randy was talking about the community. You can potentially get something for everybody. But if you go over to voiceoveressentials.com, they have something for just about everybody. He's got software now. He really has expanded his line there, but still only the best stuff. I can see he even has Adobe Audition CS6 there.
Only the best stuff and only the right stuff for right. you know, the kind of work that we're doing. Instead of having to dig through flyers from Guitar Center and, you know, all the sludge that comes through your mail all the time, don't waste a lot of time. You know, don't waste a lot of time trying to find product for voiceover. Just go here. It's
right.
here. It's here. It's what else right. do you want? It's all right here.
Just go there and find it. You know.
SoundForge Audio Studio for $29.99.
Wow.
I mean, that is ridiculously inexpensive. That's my favorite go-to app for Windows users. It's a very popular software for making... It's just very easy to set up and use and edit with. I call Twisted Wave the SoundForge of Mac. Well, that is until SoundForge for Mac came out, but it's fantastic software. So grab it here. I've never seen it that cheap, so... This is definitely the best place to get SoundForge Audio really? Studio 10.
Yeah, I didn't know that he was... Now I know. He's got software there.
I know. You never know. He's
making all the connections. We have to have Harlan on again real soon and, you know, and talk about the stuff, the great stuff that he has on there. You know, Anthony was asking about the H2VO1A, and I think maybe we do need to talk about that one of these nights. Anyway, go on over to voiceoveressentials.com. Perfect place to do some of your holiday shopping for the ones you love and, of course, yourself, who you also should love. VoiceOverEssentials.com. Thanks, Harlan.
Thank you so much, Harlan. You keep our show running, and we really, really appreciate your loyalty all this time.
Really. Without him, it would just be a very expensive show for us.
I know. Tell me about it.
Anyway, so moving on here. You shaved off your mustache. That was one of the things we were going to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
But now that that's gone, although it doesn't look like you got it completely gone.
No, there's still, I have to use the other half of the razor, but it, you know, right. I'll clean it up tomorrow morning. Promise.
Okay.
Not that you care.
I really don't. I wake up every morning with this thing and the wife's like, you know, it looks really bad. You're having a bad face day. So
I love it, man.
Yes. Alrighty. So, well, what else we got going on here tonight? Well, also, oh, hey, maybe you'd like to be a sponsor.
Yes. You.
Not you, George, but maybe one of you people watching our show. Maybe you have some service that you'd like to offer the voiceover community. Maybe you're a coach or maybe you're a plumber. I don't know. Why am I talking about plumbers so much tonight? It's just a generic job thing that's in my brain. But if there's something that you want to promote, something that you need to advertise, look at who's in the chat room. It's all voiceover people.
Yeah, get
it's
yourself,
a niche market.
Get the EWABS bump.
That's right.
Yeah,
EWABS bump. Yeah, that's a guy like that.
Uh-huh. We've got almost 1,000 friends on Facebook. Well, actually, we have like 880 friends on Facebook. Our link, you know, we're driving up the Facebook page. We're tweeting now. You know, the exposure is growing, and we have a lot of ideas for 2013 to really get out there and reach a wider, cast a wider net. So
that's be a part of it. So be a part of it. If you talk about niche marketing, if you want to talk to the people who are in voiceover, they're all here. I mean, heck, we're going to get Billy West on here now.
We are. Yeah, I've got some, I'm going to these mixers. I'm going to a charity events so that I can, you know, meet people like Tom Kenny. And because, yeah, this is where, you know, we get the amazing guests, and there's no end in sight as to who we might get on the show. I met Debbie Derryberry recently. I guarantee we'll get her on the show. Another awesome animation voice. You know, we've got a lot of ideas, and we want to have the resources to keep developing new ideas, better content, and just keep the show improving. So help us out if you can, if you want to get that little extra, advertising out there.
That's right. So feel free. We need you. We love having you here, but we need you too. And remember, you can also donate. It's not cheap to do this show. It's not expensive, but it's not cheap either. But you know, right now we could use some help to make it happen every single week. And we got a lot more coming up in a couple of weeks too. I mean, we were talking about, we've got Joan Baker's going to be on next week. Wonderful lady. I've never really spoken with Joan, but I've been looking forward to the opportunity. And we've got...
She's going to have a great story, I'm sure, because she's on an HBO special. Series. Yeah, I saw that... a little clip that they had posted of her. It was heavy duty, man. She was talking about growing up being mixed race, and it was, I'm sure she'll tell us a little bit about that show, because I'm sure it's fantastic.
Yeah, lovely lady. I love those pictures she puts in Facebook of herself, too.
Boy, is she gorgeous or what?
Alrighty.
She's beautiful. Yes. And talented, yes. And funny as heck, too.
That's right. Yeah. And then Lisa Biggs is going to be with us with the Voxy ladies and Deb Monroe, too. So we've got lots of great people coming up. Also, on the 23rd, we've agreed we're going to have a Christmas party.
Yeah, why not? Let's make it be fun and loose.
We'll have our Google Hangout. We'll be here on Ustream and on YouTube and everything. But we'll have what I think we'd like people to do is have your own Christmas party, and then have the camera set up in your own Christmas party. We'll have like, you know, 8 people at different parties, and it'll seem like a huge party.
It'd be awesome. The audio will be a complete train wreck, but who cares? It'll be a blast.
Audio is usually a train wreck at most parties. I can't hear anything that's going on at one of those things.
Exactly. Speaking of audio, it's a train wreck. Let me just share this clip of from that. This is the last time I will mention the party that I was at. You got to see, this is Jim Cummings. This is a side of Jim Cummings most people never get to see, because first of all, you never get to see him. And second of all, you don't get to see him hear him out of context. But this guy's a performer, man. Check out this clip here. And I apologize for the audio. How great is that, man?
Wow.
He can freaking sing. And he's a drummer, really? Too. I mean, he's a really talented musician.
Yeah, well, talented guy.
It amazes me how many multi-talented people there are in the voiceover business. Really, it's a lot of musicians, and it just blows my mind. It turns out that Billy West is a guitar player, and apparently a pretty good one, you know? And
right.
Everybody needs a hobby, you know? It's like...
Yeah, look at somebody like Harry Shearer, who can play bass and all that. I mean, there really are some very, very talented people. And, of course, people who are talented like that, they're in Hollywood for a reason. So
they work. They work hard, man. It's a hustle zone out here. You got to survive out here. Now that I've been out here, this will be 9 years this January, I understand how hard it is to stick it out here. And even the tiny, tiny little bit of exposure I have in what we do, I'm getting a taste of what the Hollywood, what it feels like to be in the Hollywood machine a little bit. There was an amazing video clip that my wife shared, I think, on Facebook. It was Dave Chappelle. Whatever you think of Dave Chappelle, the actor and the comedian. He had this amazing quote on the inside the actor's studio. Just do a YouTube search for this thing. It really explains why, you know, people crack, no matter how successful, why they crack when they're out here in Hollywood. So it is not for everybody. If you can make a great living in your basement or now in your second story room like Dan and be comfortable and not have to be in this machine, it's definitely not for everybody. So, but I'm enjoying it so far. I'm still here. I think that I've been here for 9 years. I guess that means they've accepted me. So I'm an honorary local now.
Right. Well, but you provide an important service for them. So yeah, they treat you like a celebrity, and that's the most important
thing. That's bizarre. No, let me explain how bizarre that is. Let me go to a mixer with all these amazing voice actors, and then some agent from Atlas Talent is there, and I say, "Hi, I'm George Whittam." And she's like, "Oh, it's George Whittam. I love it." I'm like, and you know, and we're standing here with Billy West, and she's like, "I'm sorry, he's so, you know, whatever." It's surreal. I'm like, give me a break. I'm a technician. I'm basically a plumber. Speaking of the plumber thing,
why I'm thinking of that.
I'm basically a plumber. I fix stuff when it breaks, you know. We both love what we do. I mean, we wouldn't be doing it otherwise at this point in our lives, and I'm going to keep doing it. I've had some touch and go times over the last few months, and whether I'm going to stick it out as a, you know, running this business, it's been a tough haul. There's so much to deal with to run a business like this, but I'm pushing through that, and thanks to a big push that I got from a lot of guys and ladies this week, this business is going to move on into 2013 stronger than ever, and it's going to have a huge number of new ways of supporting the voice actor and even the new voice actor, more affordable services and things like that.
Absolutely. Well, let's see. I smell popcorn.
Yeah, I believe it's time to wrap this baby up.
All right, and tie a nice little bow. But yeah. God, it was great having Randy on. I just love having. I love talking to Randy, and we love having you guys here. It's amazing. Every week you show up, the audience keeps getting bigger and bigger, which means I guess we're doing something right.
I think we peaked out at about 80 unique views tonight, visitors tonight, which is really good for a show that's this niche and in a world where we watch everything in replay on a DVR, you know. So
right.
You guys are awesome for wanting to be here live and interact and keep the chat room going. It's so cool. So right. Cool.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's going to carry it for this week. Mm-hmm. Everybody have yourself a great week and just listen to what we say, listen to what everybody else says, but listen to yourself because that's the most important thing. You've got to be to yourself true. Anyway, I'm Dan Leonard here in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are
East-West
Audio Body Shop. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday night with Joan Baker.
Take care.